Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the co-main event for this weekend's UFC fight, Donald Cerrone against Joe Lauzon. I'm excited for this one, and I hope over the show you see why I'm excited for this one, because these guys have got such a good history in combat sports, in mixed martial arts, particularly in the UFC. I remember Joe Lauzon's debut. I remember Donald Cerrone's debut. You know, they've both developed into household names and real fan favorites. Of course, they're both a bit later in their career now. They're both, you know, late 30s, but they've still got lots to give. They're still very, very dangerous and talented fighters. Of course, Cowboy's on a bit of a losing streak at the moment. He's been fighting absolute killers in his last several fights. Lauzon, on the other hand, has picked up a win, but he's been out for, what, 31 months, is it? Something like that. It's been a while since he's been in there. Now, quick tale of the tape, let's start there. So Cowboy is 36-16 with two no contests. Joe Lauzon is 28-16, loads of experience. Couple of 3 inches in height for Cowboy, as well as 2 inches in reach. I don't know if that's going to make too much difference, and I'll explain to you why in a minute. If we continue on down, as you would expect from Cowboy, a high striking output, higher striking accuracy, less strikes absorbed per minute. You know, he is probably the better technical striker out of the two of them. I don't think anybody can debate that. Doesn't mean that Joe Lauzon's not effective with his striking, because he is. He's an absolute monster with it. But it's not the same kind of precision striking that Cowboy's got. It's still going to make it very interesting, though. But we know what these guys are about. When you think Cowboy, you think Muay Thai, and people always forget about his ground game. When you think about Joe Lauzon, you think about his wild ground game. You forget about his striking, which is how he made his UFC debut. Average takedowns, of course, is going to be higher for Joe Lauzon, but 74% takedown defense for Cowboy. And they've both got 17 subs on their record as well. So 9 TKOs out of 28 wins for Lauzon, 17 submissions and 2 decisions. On Cowboy's side, we've got 10 TKOs, 17 submissions and 9 decisions. It's also worth noting, of course, that Cowboy's had some of his career as a welterweight. So as a lightweight, his record is actually 30-9. I mean, he's very, very 50-50 at welterweight. I think his record's 6-7, something like that. 6-7, that makes sense. He's effective because his skills show through, but then sometimes he's underpowered. Sometimes he always gets tough fights as Cowboy. Always gives a good account of himself, but he has been put away a few times. Let me show you some footage. So Joe Lauzon's UFC debut was against Jens Pulver, and Jens Pulver at the time was the one and only person to have held the UFC lightweight title. He was crowned the lightweight champion, and then there was a contract dissute, and they basically dissolved the division. And from that point, Jens Pulver was away fighting in Pride and wherever else he could get a fight. Jens was, and still is, one of my favorite fighters. You know, slick boxing, you know, a very, very talented southpaw. He was a lightweight fighting out of the Miletic camp, and they were all absolute monsters as well, all bigger than him, all wrestlers. So Jens Pulver was a real name to have on your record. Joe Lauzon coming into the UFC. So what was this? UFC 63, September of 2006. If you think about this, some people would actually think that Cerrone was in the UFC long before Joe Lauzon, and that's not the case at all. Joe Lauzon was actually in the UFC before Cowboy made his WEC debut, so it just shows you how long he's been around. He's not been fighting quite as often as Cowboy, but then not many people do. So here we are, Joe Lauzon, he's 22 years old, his record's 12-3, and this is September 2006. And he's making his UFC debut against the returning Jens Pulver, who was, I believe, a 7-1 favourite. And, well, I mean, you know, Joe Lauzon's always been one of those unassuming kids. But he really looks like a kid in this. And you know, on one side, you've got Joe Lauzon, who, to be honest, at the time, I kind of felt like they were bringing somebody in to get a big win on Jens Pulver's record so they could move him towards a title, because, you know, it was all about reintroducing the lightweight division to the UFC at the time. And Jens is just a fantastic fighter. You know, he had such a warm reaction. Everyone was expecting him just to come take over the lightweight division again, me included. And then Joe Lauzon just jumped on him. I mean, we're looking like seconds into the first round. And he catches him with this long hook, goes to clinch him with a knee, just misses the knee, but then catches him on this, with this wild hook. And this is a signature finish of Joe Lauzon and a signifier of how his performances go in a lot of his fights. 28 wins on his record, 18 first round finishes. The reason why I find that interesting for this one is because Cowboy is a notoriously slow starter. So 16 losses on Cowboy's record, 7 losses in the first round. He does take some time to warm up. He does like a fight that kind of starts at a steady sparring pace where he's able to establish his rhythm and his timing and his distance, and then he's dangerous. Joe Lauzon doesn't give most people that opportunity. He is ferocious out of the gate. You know, he'll give you a second or two, you know, like 20 seconds or so. But then when he goes, it's like this demon coming out of him. And most of the time, what you'll see is his hips and his feet are way behind him. It's body first. He's pulling these wild faces and he's swinging these big punches. And they're the kind of things that Joe Lauzon, way back in, 2006... that is the main asset that he brings to the table against Cowboy, who potentially struggles with these kind of fast starters. This was such a ferocious start that everyone was kind of like, hang on, who's this kid and where did he come from? Including Jens Pulver. I mean, look at that. You can see what I'm talking about with the legs behind in this shot here. Because he is literally... Oh, well, let's just go back to the start. Let's watch it again. So there's a brief exchange, and Joe Lauzon had come out and taken Jens Pulver down, and this, they just got back to their feet. So the first sort of 30 seconds or so is Lauzon trying to get in a position where he can attack with submissions over Jens Pulver, because that's his A game. He really wants to finish with submissions. But this, you know, Jens Pulver, good takedown defense, good scrambling ability, great sub defense, got back to his feet, and then this was the exchange. I mean, you can see the level change there, which gets a reaction out of Jens, drops to his knees because he thinks he needs to sprawl there. And as he's getting back up, I mean, look at Lauzon, look how extended he is. He is pitching that like it's a baseball, and he is wild, goes straight into a clinch, throws a knee, and this is flow state. This is Jiří Procházka kind of stuff. I mean, he is just wild, just where's the finish? And these are the kind of shots that we'll get through on Cowboy. I mean, like, watch this. Watch the distance on this shot. As Jens is pulling away, thinks he's got out the tie clinch. Bang, right on the tip of his chin. And you can see Lauzon's literally falling into his next punch. He doesn't mind where he goes. He'll tumble and fall his way through the fight because he's very good with the mechanics when it hits the ground. So the fast start is the main thing from Joe Lauzon that we're going to be watching out for against Cowboy. The second thing is his ability to clamp onto limbs and figure out how to snap them or how to twist them or how to grab a neck and restrict the airways. They're not always the most rigid textbook. This is the armbar. This is the triangle. This is the rear naked choke. He has ways of finding these things and making them work because he understands the mechanics of the human body. He's always been a very good grappler. You can see this in these chaotic exchanges where he's not thinking about what's my next technique. He understands physiologically how to dismantle a human being. And because he attacks with such a ferocity and he has this base level understanding of how joints move and how to manipulate the human body, he's able to move at such a fast pace. And when he's dry in the first round and his opponents have been kind of caught by surprise, they really struggled to keep up with his submission attack. Let's just focus on submissions for a minute. So as I said, both of these guys have got 17 submissions on their record. For Cowboy, we've got 8 triangles, 5 rear naked chokes, and 4 arm bars. Pretty clear cut. These are the techniques that he likes. On the other side, Joe Lauzon's got 5 arm bars, 4 rear naked chokes, 3 triangles, a heel hook, a toe hold, an Achilles lock, a guillotine, and a Kimura. Variety. And I'll guarantee that almost none of those are a standard regular technique. I'll show you in a second what I'm talking about, but his adaptability, his ability to go, there's an arm, okay, I've got a Kimura grip, what comes next? And understands how to tumble and roll and clamp onto his opponent so he can start to start to focus on that particular submission. Against Jens Pulver, it was just excitement and doubt that was going into this, as well as a massive opportunity to fight in the UFC, to take on the former lightweight champion. And, you know, even in his post-fight interview, he was very, very humble. You know, like Joe Rogan said, he was the last lightweight champ, so technically you're probably the lightweight champ of the UFC. And he went, I wouldn't go that far, but I want to fight everybody. And, you know, over the past several years, he's pretty much worked his way through the best guys in the division. On the other side, Cowboy came over from the WEC, and he had some really tough fights in the WEC. I mean, what was his record? I did write it down. 6-3 in the WEC with a no contest. But then if you go down and you look at the guys that he fought before he arrived in the UFC, so you've got, you know, Danny Castillo, Rob McCullough, Jamie Varner, James Krause, Ben Henderson twice, you know, Jamie Varner again, Chris Hordecki, another killer from back in the day. Like, he was fighting UFC level opposition at lightweight before he arrived in the UFC. When he made his debut at UFC 126 against Paul Kelly from Liverpool, tough, great hands, big power. Definitely worth a watch, that fight is, because the Cowboy that we know now is not a great deal different to that version. You know, he started off with a quick level change, put the fight on the floor quickly, and was able to maintain it for a period of the first round. In the stand-up ranges, though, he was struggling a little bit. He was getting cracked with some big shots from Paul Kelly, but then the opportunity came down to put the fight on the floor again, which he did. And, you know, the thing, I always go back to this. People, when you talk about Cowboy, they go, he's got great kickboxing, he's a kickboxer. But we forget how good his ground game is as well. It's always there for him to fall back upon, and we've seen him do it several times before. You know, times when he's been up against someone who is just a powerhouse that he's trying to take his head off. I mean, Mike Perry's, a great example. Someone who's really trying to hurt him, and he's able to fall back on that really strong ground game that he's got. I don't think he's going to take Joe Lauzon down, because I think that would put him in a tangle that is very, very difficult to unthread. But to have it there is going to be very, very valuable for him, because most likely Joe Lauzon's going to try and put him in some kind of submission at some point. So that awareness is going to be a real benefit to him. Let's have a quick look at this. So this is the level change. So Paul Kelly's been lighting him up. He's just landed a big left hook, actually. And as he steps on to throw another big power shot, here comes his big left hook to the body. Cowboy level changes, hooks, trips, and puts him on the floor. And from this point, he works around. He passes his half guard. He gets into a mount position. As Paul Kelly starts to scramble, he clamps onto him and starts to land ground and pound, which then forces Paul Kelly to turn. And, you know, really, really good back control, as we always see from Cowboy. Punches that arm under the neck as Paul Kelly's trying to, of course, he's trying to deal with this this body triangle, which is causing him issues. And as they rock up, Cowboy just punches that straight through. And there's his rear naked choke finish. And that's his UFC debut right there. A really good performance. It was a fight of the night. I remember watching it myself and thinking, wow, this is... Because I'll be honest, I was expecting Cowboy to be able to beat Paul Kelly, purely because of the level that he'd been fighting at, and the fact that, you know, Paul Kelly is a striker and Cowboy's got great striking. You know, I expected Cowboy to be able to better him on the feet. In actuality, he needed his ground game for it. But the important thing is that we've seen both sides of both guys. We know that Joe Lauzon's got a wild ground game, but he made his debut with striking. We know that Cowboy's got great striking, but he won his UFC debut with his ground game. So both of these guys are veteran mixed martial artists, is the point I'm trying to make. If we start to focus on specifics of their game, though, and we look at, say, the fast starting of Joe Lauzon, and this really is a kryptonite of Cowboy. You know, he doesn't like people being aggressive and standoffish with him. He likes those fights that feel like a sparring session with his mates. Like, you think to the Yancy Medeiros fight where they're like arms around each other on the stage and fist bumping, and that was a fun one until Cowboy picked up the win. Darren Till, on the other hand, like in his face, making him feel very uncomfortable, pressured him early. You know, Leon did the same, nearly got him out of there in the first round as well. He struggles with people that come to hurt him. And I feel like although Joe Lozon might be meek and friendly and not want to make eye contact too much and, you know, all that kind of stuff, when the fight starts and you get that wild man coming out, you know, the kid, Ricky Bobby's youngest son on Talladega Nights, the little ginger kid. I'm gonna come at you like a spider monkey. That is Joe Lozon. He is the spider monkey. He is this ferocious, like, rabid animal that's got this mixed martial arts skill set that is very, very adaptable. He's a really difficult person to deal with. If Joe Lozon comes and starts real quick on Cowboy, he might catch him cold. He might catch him a bit panicked. Of course, I mean, Cowboy's on a 5-fight losing streak, not including a no contest to Nico Price. That is a lot of losses that hang over you. I've been there, 4 losses in a row. It hangs over you. You feel that pressure when you're walking out because this might be your last one. I mean, you can't imagine Cowboy being released and going and fighting somewhere else. So most likely, if he doesn't win this one, that's the choice he's got to make. Do I go somewhere else, or is this the end of my career? That's a big pressure, especially because, you know, Cowboy loves this so much. And it's been over a year since he was in there last, and that also doesn't work out well for Cowboy. He likes that constant work rate where he doesn't have to deal with the, here I am, high anxiety for a fight, and then time away, and that anxiety decreases, and then all of a sudden you go, whack! You know, that's the timeout, that's the, you know, all the drawbacks of not being very active. And Cowboy's never dealt with that very well. And someone that starts fast and is very aggressive, I feel like they might be able to catch him cold. So let's have a quick focus on Joe Lozon. 18 first round finishes, as I said. He's got 11 subs and 7 TKOs in the first round. Very adaptable. Doesn't really matter where the fight goes. He'll throw everything at you. And he is very effective with it. Very, very effective. I mean, this is Gabe Rudiger, who's also a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, who was trying to play the jiu-jitsu game with him. But Joe Lozon was just smashing him at every opportunity. It was just, it's hell for leather all the time. Big shots, powerful shots, forcing people to do things they don't want to do. Like, Gabe Rudiger knows, I know this for a fact because I've grappled with Gabe quite a bit. Gabe Rudiger knows for a fact that this is a bad idea for an armbar. Like, he knows that he's in a bad position, but he's not thinking about the armbar. He's thinking about getting smashed in the face with Joe Lozon, who's a rabid spider monkey attacking him in the first 2 minutes of the fight. So it makes us do things that we don't want to do. You can see Gabe Rudiger reaching out here, and there that arm gets collected. And you know full well what Joe Lozon's doing, because at the same time as he's wrapping this with his right arm, he's bringing his right foot up to wedge himself in. And then when he sits back, he's going to put this hand on the side of the head, and he's going to push Gabe Rudiger away with that hand just long enough to swing his leg over and isolate the armbar. Here we go. Little post on the face, leg comes over just long enough, and now the arm's isolated. And that, like, go and watch these fights. Go and watch this fight. That is 2 minutes in the first round that this happens. It was constant from that point. He's either hitting you or dragging you or chasing you down or trying to grab onto something. It's a constant attack. And that ferocity, it could be problematic for Cowboy. Is another one against Warburton, and this is the only Kimura on his record, and this is another good example of how he adapts things very well. So he lands a left hook, a power left hook, he throws his right hand over, and then follows it with a big left hook and knocks Warburton down, and then jumps on him. And from that point, it literally looks like a mugging on the street. He's just hitting him, kneeing him, whatever, smashing him with elbows. The point when you've been hurt, there's no moment where you can gather yourself because he doesn't stop and settle into a position. He never really thinks too much about position unless it's moving from one to the next to the next. There's no establishing and here's side control and hang on, let me bind the legs and hold him and control his wrist. And he only does those things to continue this ferocious attack. So it's momentary. And in this one, you can see him, look, he's just posting and smashing him and anything that works. Then, of course, as this arm starts to get extended here, Joe Lozon then switches his tack. So then he clamps onto a Kimura. Now he's on the Kimura. Now watch how he attacks this, because this is not in any way, shape, or form ideal in jiu-jitsu. Like, he's still clamped onto this Kimura. He drops his hips in, and then he sits to his back. But at the same time, he's going to throw his left leg over the back. That's the most important thing there, that leg over the back, because that is keeping Warburton's hips down. You can also see he's got this Kimura trap here, and he's been able to throw this leg over the shoulder. So there are now three elements of control. He's got two arms on one. That one arm of Warburton's already cranked up his back. He's clamped along the back of the lower back, and he's over the far side shoulder. So as this progresses, I mean, it just gets more brutal by the moment, trust me. As this progresses, because Warburton's trying to boss himself back up, he actually gets put in a triangle. But look at the position of his arm at the end of this. I mean, you see what I mean? Like Lozon knows what he needs to do to the rest of the body. He knows he needs to control the rest of the body while he's cranking that Kimura position. He's putting all the strain through the shoulder. And you can see here, right at the end, as he cranks it, triangle's locked down, controlling the head and the shoulders, and look at the position of his arm. I mean, he's Jamie's squirming in his seat here. That's brutal. And that is not a typical position for a Kimura attack. But he makes it work. And he makes it work, look, at the same time. 2 minutes into the first round. It's a ferocious attack. Ah, lunging forward, hips and feet behind him, crashing into his opponent, swinging big shots, knocks him down, hits the floor, ground and pound. The guy's reaching. Does he go for an armbar? Does he crank his neck? He jumps on a Kimura, and then he sits back and he locks the rest of his body up, so he has to feel that damage in his shoulder, which is exactly what's going on here. I mean, you know, there are just so many opportunities for me to show you a fast start. Look, again, same 20 seconds into the first round, Melvin Gallard. This was a 45-second finish. Melvin Gallard, as you know, he's going to come forward with big power. He swings that massive left hook, and Joe Lozon just bink right on the face. Pop right on the face. Gallard's shaken for a moment, but he's not knocked out. And don't get me wrong, you know, he might not crack Cowboy and drop him. You might catch him and hurt him and then force Cowboy to, again, do something he doesn't want to do. Like, Melvin Gallard did not come into this fight to wrestle with Joe Lozon, but when he gets hit like that and he backs up and Joe Lozon's coming on, what does he do? He level changes. And now Joe Lozon's into his game, but his game moves twice as fast as everybody else's. So the next thing he does, attacks the neck for a moment, circles around to the back, sinks the near side hook in. Far side hook rolls over onto the side. And again, we're looking at seconds here when Melvin Gallard's not quite gathered himself from the chaos. And there we are. There's the finish. Strong, driving everything into it. But I can see any of these circumstances happening. This is the most recent one. And this is an even better example of the mechanical understanding of the body, how to control. I mean, look at this position he's got here. It's just, it's absolutely brutal. And you meet Lozon in the first couple of minutes of a fight, and you've got to be expecting this kind of madness. Like, the best thing for Cowboy to do right now would be to be prepared for a ferocious start and try and stifle it and slow it down as best he can. If he panics and engages, it's only going to get worse for him. If he's able to slow it down and drag it out a little bit and get Joe Lozon to start reaching, then he can start getting him to pay for that chaos, because Cowboy is a great striker. You know, he's got good knees and good elbows on the inside. He's got good boxing. His main thing is his kicking game, because he can work people's midsection. He can bring their hands down. Then he sets up that head kick. He's got, hang on, I wrote it down, 6 head kick knockouts in his career. And it's ambidexterity as well. It's not one side or the other. It's not a particular type of head kick. He has the same ability to set people up for head kicks, regardless of what they're expecting or where they are in the octagon. This, for me, is where the gaps in Joe Lozon's striking game can be problematic for him. Because if he does find himself struggling to get the fight to the floor, if he shoots a couple of times and Cowboy just disengages and brings him back to his feet, eventually those wide shots of Joe Lozon are going to be easy for Cowboy to start picking him off. If Cowboy is able to establish a bit of distance in this fight, and if he is able to slow it down, that's where the head kicks come into play. And this is another part of the reason why I wanted to show you some of these. Is, you know, we're celebrating the best things about these guys. We're probably the last handful of fights of both of these guys' careers. You know, Joe Lozon's had 43 fights. Cowboy's had 54. You know, they've been fighting at a high level for a long time. They've both taken a lot of damage. They've both been stopped a few times. You know, this. They can't do this forever. So while they're doing it and while they're about to face one another, which I think is a very well-matched fight, we've got to celebrate the things that make these guys so good and the reasons why they've been fan favorites for so long. And for me, Cowboy is probably one of the best high kick martial artists in the sport of mixed martial arts. Edson Barbosa, Wonder Boy, you know, you're looking at a very elite level of striker when people can land consistent head kicks. And Cowboy's got quite a few. One of my favorites, and one that's most applicable in my eyes to this fight, is against Jim Miller. And it was a bit of a weird one, this, because he landed a front kick, and you could see that the ball of the foot really caught Jim Miller in the midsection. And Miller was hurt, but Mugliotta thought it was a groin shot, so he stopped it briefly, saw the replay, and was like, hang on a minute, that was a good shot. You can go again. So Jim Miller, at this point, was already hurt with a body shot and had not yet recovered. So then Cowboy starts to march him down and work that midsection over again. And this is where building a conversation with striking is really evident with Cowboy. And when you've got a high-level striker against someone that's not quite a high level in Jim Miller, those conversations kind of go over Jim Miller's head, especially when he's reacting out of pain. So what we see from this one with Cowboy is he jams him another time with that big shot to the midsection and just keeps chipping away at him. But you can see Miller's hands are down now. You can see he's throwing haymakers, trying to, you know, these are the moments where Joe Lozon backed up against the fence, feeling under pressure. He does start winging these wild shots and Cowboy does get out of the way of him because he has got good eyes and good reaction times. And that's when he starts setting him up for these big shots, these big head kicks. Because Lozon does get kind of low and he does shift his head from side to side, especially if he's winging punches. These are the kind of shots that Cowboy's going to be able to set him up with. And this was just a lovely finish. I mean, you know, he backed him against the fence. And something that we'll see Cowboy do a lot, we're watching this rear hand. Most of the time when Cowboy lands a head kick, it's because people are reacting to his hands first. They'll go, huh, or move the hand or try and swipe the punch that's coming or that thinks coming that never does. Like, watch this hand fire out and watch the backhand of Jim Miller as this happens. You can see he's moving this hand away. He's patting that hand down because he's expecting that cross to come out. But what you'll notice is that it removes the guard from this side. Like, there's now nothing guarding the side of Jim Miller's head. Had Cowboy just thrown the kick, it may not have got through. It may have just landed on the guard. But because he throws the right hand first, and it's just a flick, it's just enough to get Jim Miller reaching and open up that target on the side of his head. Lovely. And not in any way accidental, because it's repeated over and over again in his career. Look, there it is. You can see the point where Miller bites on that right hand. The right hand comes out. But what he doesn't realize, and this is, it's almost like there's a bit of string attached between the foot and the wrist. As the wrist goes out, it starts to pull the foot around with it. Hand goes out, and the foot's now left the floor. The guard's already started to be removed from Jim Miller. He makes contact with the hand, but he's still reaching, and there's no guard on that side of his head. So he gets a face full of shin. There we go. And like I said, you know, I mean, here's another example of it. You can see the reaction that he's getting out of Jim Miller. I mean, this is just over and over again. You know, I think the next one's Adriano Martins, is it? Oh, no, Melvin Gallard. Common opponent. Same thing. Lead foot. Fires the lead hand. So he's firing this lead hand over the shoulder of Melvin Gallard, which is making Melvin Gallard slip to the side of it. Slip to miss the jab. Bang. Right across the side of his head. Because, of course, like, he sees this jab coming out. He's expecting that to be fully extended. He's expecting that fist to end over here somewhere because he thinks that jab is going for his face. In actuality, the jab is not even going to land with the arm fully extended, but that's never the point. The point is to get him to move his head onto that kick. Beautiful work. Same thing with Martins. Here's the right hand. Right hand comes out. The hand reaches. The head kick lands. I mean, it just couldn't be more obvious in some of these, could it? Like the same, almost identical to Jim Miller. The hand's reaching, trying to stop that cross coming in. Opens up the target on the side of the head. And my favourite of all of them, as if that wasn't beautiful, is the Matt Brown one. I mean, look at the timing on that. Because what you can see here is Matt Brown's dropped. He's thrown a jab to the body. And Cowboy throws his jab out over the side of Matt Brown's head. And you'll see Matt Brown just dip a little bit further. He goes to throw the body. He sees the lead hand of Cowboy coming out. Now look where his head is here. He drops his head a little bit further. Now it's here. And the target is open for him. Very, very subtle movements. But any time Joe Lauzon is at the arm's length or slightly further out, he's at danger of this kick. Here's one more example. One more opportunity to see it. See Matt Brown step hard with his lead leg and drop his level a little bit to go for the body. Sees the hand coming out, drops his head out the way of it. And there it is. I mean, you know, Rakic Manu is another good example of the same thing. People moving their head out of the way out of the way of a punch that they perceive is coming, then onto a kick. So, to summarise, I expect Joe Lauzon to be characteristically himself. I think he's going to come out like a spider monkey. I think he's going to run at him. He's going to climb up him and try and strangle him or try and clamp onto a kimura or something. He's going to try and startle Cowboy early by being a bit ferocious and a bit wild. That may work for him. It may work really well because he might, you know, hang back for 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and then he finds himself in range or something just about lands, or he just has that wave of energy and he's on the attack. And then for the next 60 or 90 seconds, Cowboy's going to really be under fire. He's going to be taking big shots. He's going to be defending takedowns. He's going to be trying to stop this guy scrambling up and choking him out. If it starts to get past that, this is where Cowboy now starts to find his way in. Because if he gets out the past 12 or 13 months while he's been out of the octagon, if he gets that out of his system and he finds that comfortability in the octagon where, okay, now I've settled it down, he's not caught me in the first 2 minutes when I know he's lethal, now I can start slowing it down and working at my pace. Then he starts working him on the end of that jab and he keeps stinging Lauzon, who's got a lot of scar tissue, so he might be able to open something up. Start getting Lauzon frustrated and bloodied and reaching for things, and then he starts to get him reacting to those hands, and then the kicks start coming around the sides. If I'm going one way for Cowboy, I expect him to be able to set Lauzon up for strikes, but I expect that to be later in the fight. If it goes early, I expect it to be Joe Lauzon, just because that's his characteristic. He is a very, very fast starter. 28 wins, 18 in the first round, 11 subs, 7 TKOs. He throws everything at his opponent. He's only won by decision twice. That's not of interest to him. Cowboy's won by decision 9 times, and we've seen him in main events several times. We know he can work over 5 rounds. So the pace of this fight isn't about being slow and steady for 25 minutes. This is about making Cowboy work at a very fast pace for a shorter period of time and making him uncomfortable. Trying to do as much damage as you can in those first few minutes, so then you're ahead on the scorecards and maybe you've already got inside Cowboy's head. If that 2 minutes isn't successful for Joe Lauzon, then he's going to be on the ends of the striking range of Cowboy, and that's when it starts to get more difficult for him. I've been a massive fan of both of these guys for a long, long time. The fact that they're matched up now, and that this, in my opinion, is probably one of the best matchups that you can get for two veterans in this division. Enjoy it. We're going to see these guys fight a handful more times between them. Joe Lauzon, an absolute legend of the sport, came in and beat the former UFC lightweight champion in Jens Pulver, shocked everybody, and has been a mainstay in the UFC ever since. Cowboy is one of the hardest working, longest serving UFC fighters as well. The amount of work he's put in, the amount of wins he's picked up, the amount of opponents that he said yes to when most of the people would say no, or give me another couple of months, let me properly prepare. Both of these guys are absolute animals, and I think this one's going to steal the show because, well, why wouldn't it? I mean, they're both absolute legends. All right, enjoy it, and I'll see you next time.